Revelation chapter 7, the Great Tribulation in detail. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time that we can look into your word, Lord. I pray that you would speak to us mightily. Teach us what you want us to learn as we continue our study in the book of Revelation. We ask for a special blessing, and I just pray that you would open up our eyes, God, to see what's going to take place during this 7-year Great Tribulation. We love you and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. This is a period that hasn't been expounded on in any other place except in what Jesus gave from the Mount of Olives in Matthew chapters 24 and 25, which relate to the Great Tribulation. So what the Apostle John is saying is based on what Christ had to say. In chapter 6, we saw the opening of 6 of the 7 seals. The 6 seals revealed the 4 tragedies that are coming on this planet. The beginning of God's judgments as the full force of his wrath is being poured out. In opening the 5th seal, we saw people who were martyred. These were all saved during the Great Tribulation period. In the 6th seal, we're given signs of what is to come on a godless world during this 7-year period. The 7th seal deals with the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. So at this point, 1/4 of Earth's population has been wiped out in judgment. 25% of the population on this planet has died. You know, it's going to be extremely hard to make it through this period, especially for those who accept Christ and make a stand for him. Something that's important for us to understand. A format is followed from the breaking of the seals to the 7 bowls of wrath judgments. So between the 6th and 7th of each, there's an interlude that explains the action and answers certain questions. Well, this is what we find here in chapter 7. The question that comes to mind, will those who get saved in this terrible time be able to stand for the Lord? So here's the deal. When the church is removed from the earth at the rapture, the ministry of the Holy Spirit will come to an end. Another one of the Holy Spirit's ministries in the period of the church, the last 2,000 years, has been that of restraining the full potential of evil. I mean, it was important for the Holy Spirit to be a restrainer. He had to, so the gospel could penetrate a world controlled and blinded by Satan. We see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. This is why the Great Tribulation is dedicated as a devil's day. It's going to be Satan's day. It's a day when Satan is going to have the freedom to do whatever he wants. Again, God would never subject the church made up of born-again believers, Jew and Gentile. God would never submit the church to this kind of thing, letting Satan have power over them. The reason why God is going to allow this is because it's a period of God's judgment on the world. The world has rejected his son, Jesus Christ. The church hasn't. But something else will take place. More people are going to be saved in this period than any other 7-year period in all of history. Chapter 7 is telling us how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is in the world after the church is removed, just as he was in the world before Pentecost. I mean, you can see as far back as the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. In the beginning, the Holy Spirit was here. Let's look at the text. Verse 1. John the Apostle says, "After these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, 'Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads.' And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. They were crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' So he said to me, 'These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" After these things refers to the terrible judgment of chapter 6. The writing of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. In their writing were given an overall picture of the great tribulation period. Now, we're getting into the details. Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree, is speaking of the winds of judgment. You might recall in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 4, verse 39-41, the disciples were with Jesus in the boat. Jesus was sleeping down in the hall. But they got him, he came up, and Jesus calmed the sea and the wind with his voice. Well, here in chapter 7, the winds of judgment are now being held back. Nothing can move until God accomplishes his purpose. So what is God's purpose? That people would repent of their evil, that they would turn to God for forgiveness of sin, and that they would have eternal life with God in heaven. You see, during this period, multitudes are going to turn to God. Many are going to be saved. It reveals these judgments will accomplish God's purpose. But there will also be multitudes turning against God. Where do we see that? Revelation 9, verse 20 and 21, Revelation 16, verse 9, and Revelation 16, verse 11. When trouble comes to us, it will either draw us to God or it'll drive us away from Him. When I get myself in trouble, when I'm sick or whatever the case might be, I start pleading out to God. It draws me near to God. That's the reason the Lord lets some of us have sickness. That's why some of us have diseases. The whole point is to draw us closer to Himself. I mean, this life is only, what, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years maybe? Maybe 100? We're talking about eternity. So if we have to suffer in this life to draw us close to God so we can be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever with no end, then I'd have to say it's worth it if that's what God needs to do. We've been delivered as born-again believers from going through this terrible time. Jesus said in John 5, verse 24, "Most surely I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life." Did you catch that? Shall not come into judgment. The great tribulation is a judgment, and the church is not in it. You're going to hear me say this a lot. People out there are saying that the church is going in to be cleansed and purified. You know what? We were cleansed and purified when we gave our lives to Christ. Because now God looks at us as a born-again believer, declares that we are righteous in Jesus Christ because of His shed blood. As we look in the book of Daniel, and in the letter to the Ephesians in the New Testament, there are different orders of angels, both good and bad. Of course, Satan's demonic world has various ranks. No doubt he's got his generals, majors, lieutenants, sergeants, his privates. But God also has his ranks of angels. Michael, the archangel, he's known as a warrior angel. We see that in the book of Daniel and the book of Jude, just before the book of Revelation. Gabriel, the archangel, is a messenger angel. Again, we see that in Daniel, and we see that in the Gospel of Luke. So in the triunity of God, there's one God, three persons, one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, with that in mind, it is also believed that Satan was an archangel before he fell, that he actually led worship before the throne of God. Read Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 to 19, and Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 17. You know why Satan is trying to destroy you and me today? Revelation 20:10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and the beast and the false prophet are. The beast and the false prophet, that's the Antichrist, the world dictator, and the false prophet. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan knows this. He knows that. That's why Revelation 12:12 says, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." That 7-year tribulation is going to be horrific. I mean, here this angel gives orders, and it says he cried with a great voice. It's an indication of that terrible judgment that is getting ready to break out on the earth. That's why it was necessary to seal God's servants, those 144,000 Jews that are going to go and proclaim the gospel through the world because the church isn't here. Jesus mentioned about this in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Jesus said, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world, until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." We're in a period before the seventh seal is open. The reason is to make sure these who are sealed will make it through the entire seven-year tribulation. 144,000 is a number sealed from the nation of Israel. Now, a seal indicates ownership. It indicates protection. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. You and I are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We were sealed the moment we trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's God's guarantee, number one, that we are saved. Number two, that we are safe. And number three, that one day, very soon, He is going to take us to heaven. Now, let me just say this. If someone thinks they're one of the 144,000, then they're saying they belong to Israel. They're also saying they know which tribe they're from, because the tribes are going to be identified. But here's the problem I see in that. The genealogical records have all been destroyed. But even though 10 of the tribes were taken by the Assyrians and lost, it is no problem to God. God knows His chosen people, and God knows where they are. These 144,000 Jews are going to be witnesses for Jesus Christ during the tribulation. It's another reason why the church isn't going to be here. I can't stress that enough. This is the gospel that is going to wake up Israel, and many are going to turn to Christ. God promised, as we see again and again in the Old Testament, that He would come and establish His kingdom, which is a 1,000-year kingdom, the millennial reign, a time of testing, the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20. And then go right into eternity, the new heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem, Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Something interesting, in looking at the list of these 12 tribes, notice something interesting here. If you're a student of God's word, first of all, Judah heads the list. Now, the tribe of Reuben was first born to Jacob, who is Israel. Reuben should have been first, because Reuben was the oldest of firstborn. But we read in the Old Testament that Reuben slept with one of Jacob's wives. Because of his immorality, Reuben lost first place. But this is what I love about God. In God's grace, Reuben is still included in the list. Reuben is an example of how God deals with those who sin. He lost firstborn status. He lost the place of honor. But he didn't lose out altogether. We actually see him mentioned here, but he's not number one, he's number two. Judah was a tribe given preeminence in Genesis 49, verses 8 to 10. That's when Jacob was dying and he called his 12 sons together. And he prophesied over each one of them. That's when he gave Judah the preeminence. Judah was a tribe from which Christ, the Messiah and Savior, would come. But you know, you catch something here. The tribes of Dan and Ephraim aren't in this list. Well, what happened? Both tribes were guilty of leading Israel into idolatry. Samson came from the tribe of Dan to be one of the judges of Israel. Amazing. You know what else is amazing? Judas Iscariot also came from the tribe of Dan. God knew who would betray Jesus with a kiss. This could be the reason why the tribe of Dan is not mentioned in chapter 7. But again, God's grace. Man, it ought to encourage us. God's grace. We see it revealed in Ezekiel 48. Dan is given top priority in the millennium. The thousand-year reign of Jesus and us believers. Amazing. The tribe of Dan is in the millennium, but they aren't sealed for the purpose of witnessing during the Great Tribulation. Ephraim was also guilty of idolatry. Hosea chapter 4, verse 17 says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Ephraim was a tribe that led in the division of the kingdom in 1 Kings chapter 11 to 26. From that time on, Israel was known as two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Israel and Judah. That's when Solomon's heart was turned from the Lord, David's son Solomon, because of the many women he had. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. The guy had 1,000 wives. Can you believe that? I mean, as a pastor, I'm thinking, I have one wife. I couldn't handle two. One is enough. Amazing. In this list of the 144,000 who will be sealed, Joseph takes the place of Ephraim, and Levi, the priestly tribe, take the place of Dan. Levi was a priestly tribe and will be witnesses in the Great Tribulation period, because God has not given up on the nation of Israel. These two tribes will make it through the tribulation period, even though they'll lose out as witnesses for God during that time. I'm talking about Ephraim and Dan. Notice no one could count the number of these people. I mean, these are Gentiles, people from every tribe and nation on earth. It means in the tribulation, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world. Here's what I find so fascinating. The 144,000 witnesses are going to do in 7 years what the church up to the present hasn't done in 2,000 years. Amazing. The white robes, we've studied this before. They speak of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Greek translation of palm branches is speaking of palm trees. They're the sign of victory. The victory that we have in Jesus Christ as born-again believers. You see, when Jesus returns to earth, this multitude martyred for him in the Great Tribulation will be included in the first resurrection and will be there with the church, the born-again believers. The first resurrection is what? The rapture of the church. Think about it. Here we're getting a picture in heaven. The church is here. The Old Testament saints are here. The tribulation saints are here. And now the angels join the worship. The only reason we will be able to stand before God is because Christ paid the penalty for our sins. Jesus died so that you and I might live. This is what the gospel is all about. It's not God asking you to do something for him. God is telling you what he has done for you. The Apostle John is proving this is not the church, because the church never identified with the temple. You never see it in Scripture. In Revelation chapter 21, when the church is in the New Jerusalem, there is no temple there. The church will never have a temple. Remember, the temple of the Holy Spirit is what? The church. Revelation 21, verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Next time, we're going to do chapter 8. The seventh seal is opened, and we get introduced to the seven trumpets. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us by your Spirit, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for those who are listening, that you would speak to them mightily, God. These are things that are just before us that will happen. And if they're just before us as we see the stage being set in our world, in our country, how much closer is the rapture of the church when we go to be with you, Lord, before these things take place? Father, use us for your kingdom and your glory. We love you and we thank you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.